This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We will get to the college football stuff in a second because we've got some tectonic plates shifting in college sports in a way that is pretty interesting, and it is hard to see where all of this is going to end up. But before we get to that, no Billy this week. He is out on vacation. And then I think beginning on August 17th, we will all be back and ready to go and together as a show. But I wanted to do this with you, Stugatz, because I want to know from sports, which is the situation among the two I'm about to set out for you that you believe to be the coldest? Okay, just simply cold, because we love the soap opera in sports, because we love guys going back and forth. And, you know, basketball has at least in part taken over social media because these guys are individual companies. They're all CEOs of their own companies, these stars. And so they don't have to care who they're fighting with. They can just go after people because they're not affecting their money. And you saw the back and forth with Damian Lillard and Patrick Beverley and Paul George, right? Did you see, how much information do you need here to set up what it is that happened between them over the weekend?
I have all the information. I know Dame missed a couple of free throws. I know that Patrick Beverley, towards the end of their game, Paul George and Patrick Beverley both were making fun, taking delight in that. And Dame came out after the game and said, "Hey, Paul George, I sent you home during the playoffs last year. Beverly, I've sent you home as well. Get out of here." And then last night had a big game.
All right. So before we do this, yes, Damian Lillard had 51 points yesterday. I believe that Patrick Beverly, salute to Patrick Beverly for being such an irritant that he can be the very face of mediocre NBA player and still be in the middle of everything with the big boys, because Patrick Beverley is a guy, you might want him on your team, you might want him to annoy others, but he is basically a thoroughly mediocre NBA starter, which I don't even mean as a slight on Patrick Beverley. It's just what he is. He's like right in the middle of a guy on your team who you're fine if he's your fifth guy. Like that, you're a decent team if he's your sixth guy.
I think you put that very, very well. He's a starter in the NBA, which is fantastic. He's just kind of average.
It's between him and the Morris brothers to figure out who is the smiling face of mediocre NBA starter more. In fact, put it on the poll, Tony, please, at Le Batard Show. Who is the smiling face of NBA starting mediocrity more? Is it Marcus Morris? Is it Markieff Morris? Or is it Patrick Beverley?
I just know I don't want to fight whoever you're trying to pick
Yes, correct.
With that poll.
Yes, I don't want to fight any of them either.
I would say before the bubble, it was probably TJ Warren.
Okay, yes. Well, that has changed and blown up in my face. We will get to that in a second, because Stugatz is going to be on the virtual screen today for a game that possibly will not have TJ Warren or Jimmy Butler in it. We scheduled all of this because we wanted that back and forth. But before we get to that, though, the Lillard part you're talking about, Stugatz, this isn't even the coldest part of it. The coldest part of it happened with family members in, you know, a bunch of deleted stuff on social media. But here's Damian Lillard saying of Patrick Beverley and Paul George, because they called Dame time when he missed a couple of free throws, and Damian Lillard wasn't having any of that.
After I missed the first one, I heard them over there yelling. I just think that's, to me, that just shows what they expect from me down the stretch. You know, they know what I do. Asking me about Patrick Beverley, who I sent him home before at the end of a game. Paul George just got sent home by me last year in the playoffs. So they know that the reason they're reacting like that is because of what they expect from me, which is a sign of respect. If anything, it should just tell you how much it hurt them to go through what I put them through in those situations previously.
So there's that, and you think that's cold enough. Now, hold on a second, Stugatz, because I'm going to put something on the poll against all of this that I believe is colder than what it is we're talking about right here, because this gets worse. So you basically have Damian Lillard's sister on social media. Do you know this back and forth? Do you know any of this that I'm about to say here, Stugatz?
No, I did not know his sister got involved, no.
All right, well, listen to this, okay? Because Paul George, during a playoff series against Miami, famously visited a strip club. here during those playoffs when he played for Indiana. And what ended up happening after that was a lot of mockery in Paul George's life because of a stripper who got pregnant. So what you're having happen here on social media is Damian Lillard's sister is going after, she's going after Paul George, saying you got a stripper pregnant and then you wifed her up. And Paul George's girlfriend is coming back at her by calling her simply a fat cow. So you say this is unbelievably cold, right? Like all of this stuff, and now there's a bunch of deleted posts and everything else, but all of this is personal, it's cold, it's soap opera, it is ugly, it's more personal than it needs to be, frankly, once the family members end up getting involved. But you tell me whether it's colder than what I'm about to tell you, Stugatz, which is... Okay. A week ago, Monday, you ended a show staring at me with open-mouthed horror because we had not mentioned until the last 10 seconds of the show that a Blue Jays catcher named Reese McGuire had been caught in a parking lot pleasing himself. And I mentioned it just flippantly, last 10 seconds of the show, and the show ended, and you spent the next 30 seconds staring at me silently with your mouth hanging open in the Zoom chat. Mm-hmm. Which is colder, Tony? I want you to put it on the poll. All of the family stuff back and forth between Lillard and Paul George, or the Atlanta Braves choosing as walk-up music for Reese McGuire, Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Oh!
Do you think Sugatz understands the joke?
It is chilly.
How cold is that? And why can't we always get professional sports teams to behave just this unprofessionally? I saw that the Bucks, right? The Bucks deleted a tweet a couple of weeks ago because they've got the foreign player, Dante. I can't pronounce his last name.
I don't think he's a foreign player either.
I can't pronounce
Dante DiVincenzo.
Excuse me. That's right. White Dante.
I don't think he's,
I think he's from
player.
Indiana.
His name sounds foreign enough that I thought it was foreign.
You
thought he was like one of these swing guards from Italy?
I thought he was like Luca. So he crossed over somebody from the opposing team, and the Milwaukee Bucks tweeted out, because it was a black guy that he crossed over who fell on the floor, Black Lives Matter, and then they had to go and delete it. But I got to think that as this stuff, social media gets younger and younger, and teams have younger people handling these accounts, we're going to get more and more of that, right? And we want more and more of that, do we not?
100%. We want more and more. I mean, who wouldn't want more of that except for the person experiencing it on the other side? But as fans, of course. We want more of that. I am dying to know where Dante DiVincenzo comes from.
He's from Delaware.
He's a blue one.
Connaughton is even less foreign than White Dante. Like, he's from Massachusetts. He went to Notre Dame. That's not the mistake that I make. Stugatz, what did you find interesting? Because I have found what is happening right here in college football to be fascinating. And I've told you here for a couple of weeks that people who know a lot more than me about what's going on with college football have been saying for weeks now, this is over. This season is not going to be played. They've been planning already the economy of college football with the firings that will have to take place to make room for the absence of the dollars that college football is supposed to bring in. And so for a couple of weeks now, if you've been listening to this show, you knew that what's happening right now was on its way. Because, again, people who know a lot more than me say the plans on what these meetings are right now have been happening. These meetings aren't, hey, let's discuss this and brainstorm. These meetings are, what do we do right now to finish this college football season? And so now that we're here, you get the unusual position of players giving voice to, no, we want to play. And players then being aligned with their customers in a way that they normally aren't. So as you've seen some of this play out, what is it that you have found interesting?
I respect the players and the fact that they're saying they want to play. I would slow it down a little bit because I think what players have learned through this is just how important they are to the equation. You have NFL players scheduled to make $15, $20 million who are opting out of contracts over coronavirus concerns. These guys are playing for free. I do like the fact that they are going to create, or at least talking about creating, a players association, something they probably should have done years ago, but at least this is going to lead to that. I think the most interesting thing for me is Trevor Lawrence and his reason for wanting a college football season, because it is his belief that players are going to be safer playing college football than they will be if they are left to their own devices. I find that part of it interesting. That's a very tough spot for college football, because I agree with Trevor Lawrence.
This is the part. You agree that it's safer to play football? That we can argue about that, right? We can argue about that. But I don't think that, however reckless college students are being going to bars in the offseason and whatnot, I'd make the argument it's not as dangerous as colliding into others with a testing program that's going to be insufficient because you don't actually have the money involved that football, professional football and basketball will have to pull some of this stuff off.
Yeah, but Dan, what you do have is an infrastructure. What you do have is the ability to at least get a test fairly quickly, I would believe, if you're at, you know, if you play at one of these Power Five conference schools. And I do think there is some, not for everyone, but I do think there is something to what he is saying, where this is probably a safer environment. For
we can
not playing
argue
football, just being on a campus with a team with doctors around.
All right, we can argue about all that, and it'd be an interesting debate that would have its merit on both sides. That's not the part about this that I find fascinating, because that to me is the micro. I'm more interested in the macro, in that we've been telling you, as you've been watching for months here, that much of the flailing change that you see from these corporations on taking names off of buildings and all of that stuff is happening, at least in part, because in the absence of real reform that's systemic, you just grab the symbols at first because it makes you feel less helpless. You can't really change what is happening in terms of Black Lives Matter in the next 5 years. So what you do in the interim is you take Aunt Jemima's face off a bottle, because the systemic change that you need can't happen very quickly. But in college football, what you're watching happen, more than taking names off of buildings on campus, more than changing the Mississippi flag because a running back doesn't want to be associated with Mississippi anymore, more than the symbols, what you're seeing right now at the core of all of this is the fight over money, as sports, Stugatz, have been laid bare on the greed. What baseball's doing is disgusting, Stugatz. They're just going to get to the dollars, even if the Marlins are winning with a guy who has never – they won games with a guy who has never pitched above single A,
right,
with a second baseman who's an Olympic skater, and with a closer who hadn't had a save since 2016. That's how because the Marlins are going to get to the end of these dollars, however it is that they have to get to the end of these dollars. The part that I find fascinating, as you see these presidents getting together wondering whether or not to cancel the football season, is that I legitimately do not know, as we sit here, whether those college presidents are saying we have to protect our kids or we have to protect our amateurism. I legitimately do not know whether they are trying to protect the optics of throwing young bodies into a disease as unpaid labor, or, oh, wait a minute, we can't start caving on these demands where we give these players money and liability waivers and everything else. I legitimately do not know if these college presidents are motivated by the right thing or not as it relates to this, because they're going to be able to file it under, well, the health of the kids was most important to us. But I feel like what might be at play here is amateurism is most important to us. We can't have these guys unionizing. We can't have the customer backing these guys. The customer is never on the side of labor in this issue. The customer still, all polling data shows, Stugatz, all of it. When you're talking about the white-black stuff, what you're talking about with the polling data is white people think that black people in college sports should stay broke. That's not an opinion. That is polling scientific data, that the people you will find who say that the kids in college basketball and college football need to stay unpaid, They're white people. So when you're talking about systemic change, Stugatz, when you're talking about changing the structure of the injustice, right? Because it's built upon the injustice of television is going to be making a whole bunch of money off of this. Administrators going to be making a whole bunch of money off of this. Kids not making a whole bunch of money off this. And so when Trevor Lawrence says, hey, I'm going to be a first round pick. I want to play. Get me out there. But get me out there. But protect me in every way. I can see presidents saying, you know what? Let me just kick this one down the road 6 months. See if this virus just mysteriously disappears so I could get the system back where it is all the time. Unjust, as opposed to the players having the power and the customers behind them. If you're just joining us, I made a basketball player who is from Delaware into a foreign player in the first hour. The second hour of the national show brings me in the other direction here with a guy who many of you associate with our show. A piece of my childhood died here over the weekend, Stugatz, because Kamala, the Ugandan giant who wasn't from Uganda, he was from Mississippi and his name was James Harris. Mm-hmm. Kamala, the Ugandan giant, is someone who legitimately, Stugatz, sort of introduced me to wrestling being televised. This was back when Vince McMahon wasn't a commissioner and all powerful. This was back when Vince McMahon was just a sideline reporter on WWE wrestling. And the way that WWE got big is because I was sitting there on my weekends as a child who loved professional wrestling, watching godforsaken regional wrestling between guy who is good at wrestling like Dusty Rhodes and Wild Bill Snyder in the beige trunks from Opa-locka. And so I was watching truly terrible wrestling where a star would fight against somebody who never had any chance to beat him because he was also my neighbor and working a second job in plumbing. And so from there, cable television arrives and the wrestling matches get a good deal better, Stugatz. The wrestling matches are competitive and have some of the stars, and cable television took that regional wrestling package and actually made it something that felt not quite as big as WrestleMania, but bigger than what it is that you were watching with your dad on Saturdays, arguing about whether what Jimmy Superfly Snuka was doing was real or not real. Where is Abdullah the Butcher from, Mike? He is also not foreign. Abdullah the Butcher.
He had a barbecue place in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right. So we had
Abby's House of Ribs or something like that. Let me look this up.
Yeah, I think it's both a barbecue house and Chinese food. Yeah. I think he mixed. There was a little bit of fusion.
Just your run-of-the-mill combo.
Culinary
joint.
Fusion from Abdullah the Butcher, who, again, was not foreign in any way.
Well, he was born in Ontario. I mean, that's where he was born.
All right. Well, but Kamala was born in Mississippi, and his real name is James Harris. But I told you, Stugatz, that the thing that I remember about wrestling more than any other was Kamala the Ugandan giant, who would speak by slapping his belly. Okay, now wrestling, unbelievably racist. Just it sells racism almost the way, you know, boxing sells racism. So you get James Harris from Mississippi just being from a different country and he can't actually speak. He's just menacing and he slaps his belly to communicate. So Kamala the Ugandan giant is running around the studio chasing after a chicken. And Vince McMahon, who, again, is not in charge of the sport, he's just a sideline reporter, is screaming that they have to go to commercial. I believe that all of this is real. I mean, at that point, I'm only 34 years old. So I'm sitting there watching this as he chases this chicken all over the place. They go to commercial. They come back from commercial. And Kamala the Ugandan giant, his bloated face is right up against the screen, right up against me with a whole lot of feathers in his mouth. He's just got feathers in his mouth because clearly he ate a live chicken. So over the years, because we love to talk to the wrestlers, we love to talk to Kamala. But the last conversation we had with him was an incredibly sad conversation where we were raising money for him and having audience members buy his book because he basically came on here, Stugatz, this had to be 18 months ago. He basically came on here and said, I'm just sitting around waiting to die.
He was horribly sad, dealt with amputations because of his battle with diabetes. And actually, that battle with diabetes helped contribute to his most recent battle with COVID-19 that he just came to, passing away from COVID, because he kept going to get dialysis and fight in his fight for to get healthy with diabetes. He got this. It was a horribly tragic end to his life. He said, in as you said in our last interview, that he was just waiting around to die, essentially.
It was
very sad.
I can't remember an interview that we did that was as shockingly sad as that one, because he was in such pain and his life was so inconvenient and he was running out of money that he was just saying that death would be relief for me. So in that vein, I mean, rest in peace. I actually, when I heard this news, it's the rare time where I'm like, okay, he got what he wanted there, where he no longer has to suffer. Because I got to imagine, Stugatz, that those last 18 months of his life, based on that conversation that we had with him, where he had no problem articulating, my life just needs to end. I need to stop being in pain. I need to stop suffering. I need to stop needing others. I need to stop being an inconvenience. There is actually some relief, and I can't imagine what the family goes through on something like this, but there's some relief in him passing away after articulating here in one of the saddest things that we've done, that he didn't really want to be living anymore.
So you were able to find some, I guess, some positivity.
Well, it's not suffering anymore, right?
It's he's in a better place. Yeah.
The way that people want to go, Stugatz, I got a thing. Most people listening to this, if you had to choose, that you just want to go quickly. You don't want to start inconveniencing people. You don't want to start needing where you're killing others with your own death. You don't want to just be someone who's an anchor or a burden. And in this particular case, I've got to think that his life was bad enough that there is some relief for the people around him that he is no longer in some kind of pain.
It's a weird way to set up the funniest thing of the sports weekend.
I forgot all about that. I should probably do that. Let's do it now. It is a weird segue. It's the wrong time to do it, but I completely forgot that I had teased that last segment.
Hey, people, tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend.
Funniest thing from the sports weekend is brought to you by Dell. Dell supports Small Business Month with savings up to 45% of computers with Intel Core processors. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
So Abdullah the Butcher is indeed foreign then? He's from Ontario, Canada, even though he was, what was the food that he is or was making in Alabama? Did you find out what
it was? He was at Atlanta. It's permanently closed now, but it was a House of Ribs and it was a barbecue/Chinese food joint.
Okay, very good. Yeah. At Lebatard Show, Tony, put it on the poll. Have you ever eaten or heard of a barbecue?
It's great Yelp ratings.
Barbecue/Chinese food joint. Chris, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend? Chris Cody.
Bob Ryan.
Oh, just
Bob Ryan. He's our favorite around here, Bob Ryan. He's become the king of the butt tweet. I'm convinced at this point he's just doing it on purpose and he's just playing us all like a fiddle. He tweeted this weekend just the @ sign. And it's like his if you check his tweets, whenever he tweets these butt tweets, they become his most retweeted tweets. So I feel like he's ahead of all of us on this and he's doing all of it on purpose.
Tony, how about you? What was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Funniest thing was Draymond Green getting fined $50,000 for tampering on TNT for saying get Devin Booker out of Phoenix. He's not even the bubble. He's not even working, and he's still getting fined. Come on, Dre.
It is funny that whatever it is that he earned from TNT for that night of broadcasting work is going to end up costing him more than whatever it is that he earned. Stugatz, what did you think was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
To me, the Phoenix Suns being the best team in the bubble, the NBA bubble. The Suns have never been the best at anything, but they're the best in the bubble.
They've had a bad run. The Suns have played a decade of meaningless basketball. Roy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Mets pitcher Jared Hughes attempted to field a slow roller, failing and jamming his knee into the ground, creating a divot that caused the grounds crew to come out and fix the field.
That's your Mets, Stugatz. That is your Mets. You saw that play he's talking about, right? It was a routine sort of slow roller that he basically attacked the baseball with maximum clumsiness.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Any one of us would have done that better without harming the field the way that he did.
Yeah, funnier yet, they're three games behind the Marlins.
Mike, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The A's and Astros.
Oh, I wanted that one.
They broke social distancing mandates from Major League Baseball to participate in a benches-clearing brawl in which no one actually threw a punch. I mean, if you're gonna break the mandates, get a shot in.
So funny. The whole thing is funny because Altuve is totally confused, can't field his position, is hitting 177, Stugatz, and making everyone wonder, wait a minute, were the Astros just totally a cheating contrivance? Like, this guy was the MVP of the league, and he's a garden gnome. He's like 4 feet tall, and now he can't hit a baseball, and he can't field his position, and they can't even fight right because all they did was try and damage each other by coughing on each other.
And you're right. Now people are wondering, was he ever good at all?
Unbelievable.
Paid that man his money.
You can't make that up, though, Stugatz. Breaking all the protocols to fight with the Astros.
It's amazing.
That A's team is good. That A's team is going to beat a lot of people that way. Going to make a lot of people want
to
fight them.
Are they going to be the random-ass champion we get because Major League Baseball shortened everything to 60 games? We're going to get one.
We are likely to get a random champion, yes.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's that time of year. The NFL is almost here, and ESPN Fantasy Football is around the corner. Draft your team, compete with your friends, and take home the crown. Sign up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball today. Here's your SportsCenter update. Damian Lillard scored 51 points in the Blazers' 124-121 victory over the 76ers. The league will officially have a play-in game between the 8th and 9th seeds to determine the final Western Conference playoff spot after the Grizzlies fell Sunday to the defending champion Toronto Raptors 108-99. And finally, a magnitude 15 earthquake would destroy Earth. The UFC heavyweight title is on the line when Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier complete their trilogy at UFC 252 on ESPN Plus. UFC 252 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPB for more details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Amin Al Hassan has texted in that soul food and Chinese food fusion spots are abundant in major American cities. He also texts in that Abdullah the Butcher, who again is not from a distant, distant land. He is someone who has a Chinese fusion place in Alabama and is from Ontario, Canada. His nickname was the Madman from Sudan. That's Abdullah the Butcher. Wrestling loves doing that sort of stuff. Stugatz, I'm curious because we were talking about this last week. Did you see the video that went viral of two young black teenagers discovering In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, where they have not heard the song? They don't know anything about the song. They're sitting down, and for the first time, they're listening to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. Did you see the viral video of the delight of discovery on the faces of these two kids when 3 minutes into the song, the drums make an appearance?
I did not see this video. It sounds like something I would like to see, but I have not seen it yet.
Well, one of the things that is the result of this, and this is a fascinating new thing that is happening as the world changes all around us and as social media teaches us new ways to sell things, In the Air Tonight, 40 years after its release, in the top five now on iTunes because 40 years after its release because of this. It had to be specifically because of this video.
Have you noticed that popular music is sort of in a holding pattern? Because nightlife is usually what drives song getting really popular. Going to a club or hearing a song for the first time, that really takes it another level. But with nightlife generally shut down across the country, what you're seeing is a holding patterns for songs that were number one before the pandemic still having the same runs because pop culture is sort of frozen right now as we wait for all the other things to get back to normal.
Stugatz, are you interested? Because HBO does a lot of great work. Most of the stuff that I'm watching these days is coming off of HBO. And I am bummed about the drought that's approaching, even as a place like Netflix, Stugatz, tries to get up off of its knees. You've basically got the entire economy held up right now by five companies. Netflix is one of them, Amazon, Google, Facebook. Like, there are only five of them holding up the entire economy, and now Netflix is trying to get back to work. They're trying to get their people, build their own studios, make them safe, because Netflix spills money all over the place. But an HBO documentary is coming out October 7th as we're headed toward a content drought. But HBO has a documentary on Craig Carton, the radio host in New York who went to jail over some pretty massive fraud. And Stugatz, is this guy going to get back to work? Like, is this documentary going to rehabilitate him? Because there are all sorts of rumors that Craig Carton is going to be allowed to get back to work now that he is just about done serving his time and a documentary is coming out, because we'll all watch those, right? We will all watch the Madoff stuff, the stuff where people are dabbling in a hugely devious fraud. This guy's gambling problem evidently was so large that he was doing things that were not just fireable offenses, but were simply illegal. And now a documentary on HBO is going to chronicle his story, you know, as Radio Gasbag, who is even more famous now because he did something that was illegal.
I think Craig had a couple of years remaining on his sentence. I think he was released early due to the coronavirus, due to the pandemic, so he is out. I have read stories where Entercom, which now owns WFAN, very much has Craig Carton in its plans. Once he is officially able to do radio again, that he will be doing radio for WFAN in New York, which seems patently absurd. But at some point, there will be a weekend observation in which I tell you, Dan, Craig Carton is back.
That's unbelievable. It really is. It really is unbelievable. That's not – you go ahead and show me throughout the history of the radio business the black guy who's allowed to do that. Show me one time.
I can't.
The black guy who's allowed to go to jail for just massive fraud.
It's not just a New York thing. Bruce Drennan, a famous Cleveland radio personality, spent 5 months in a federal prison because of a gambling ring. It seems to get a lot more chances in this industry historically if you're popular, no doubt, and white.
Stugatz, how about this? Speaking of WFAN, from the Mike Francesa Twitter account, a eulogy none of us would want. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Horace Grant was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre, just like the Bombers, 65 through 74. R.I.P. What kind of eulogy is that? You had to go on Twitter from the Mike Francesa account and write Horace Clark was the symbol of the Yankees' fall from grace post-1964. He was mediocre, just like the Bombers, 65 through 74. R.I.P.
Paid that man his money.
Those things don't exactly jive. I mean, they just don't. I do feel like that's going to be, if I go before you go, I am going to receive a similar eulogy from you. I mean,
put it on the poll at Le Batard Show, please. Is that the worst eulogy you have ever heard? Also, Stugatz, is it jive or jibe?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, you're the journalist. You tell me.
You're the one who said it, though. Thing. I might be the journalist, yeah. But you said those two things don't jive, and I think those two things don't jibe.
I think it's jive, but, you know, I always defer to you on these things.
At Lebatard Show, put that on the poll as well, Tony. Those two things don't jive or jibe? It is really unbelievable to watch this play out in real time, where the SEC and the ACC are behaving exactly as they must politically according to region. This is happening in America, where Georgia's high schools are filled with hallways filled with kids who are testing positive, and now the ACC and the SEC are behaving differently than the Big Ten, the presidents who have just canceled the football season. It's going to be interesting to watch regardless. Before we get to more conversation about what's going on with college football, it is time for Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase only at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Then Will Smith off the deep end. Shaq attack. And the rumble on the reef. Mike Tyson versus Jaws. Dan, your favorite week of the year. Shark Week is back.
You see Tyson shirtless on that boat. He looks unbelievable.
Old.
Not for a 50 that body for a 50 something year old. What he's put that body through?
Listen, it looks great for a 57 year old, but when you're about to fight Jaws, I don't know. You would agree, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's going to fight Jaws. He's fighting a fear of sharks.
False advertising. Eric Musselman landed his fifth top 100 recruit at Arkansas, and that can only mean one thing. Trouble. Also, when did Eric Musselman become the head coach at the University of Arkansas? And when did Nolan Richardson leave? Dan, for weeks leading up to the PGA, I've been telling Mike Ryan to place a bet on Jordan Spieth to win the championship. Now, Jordan did make the cut, but he finished plus +4 and in a four-way tie for 71st.
What happened?
Sorry, Mike. Spieth has fallen off the wagon, Dan.
What happened there? Like, I don't understand.
Listen, he's won every championship, all the majors, with the exception of the PGA championship. He won three of the four, and then he got married. I mean...
Oh, wow. You think that... Are you making a link between those things?
I was just pointing out that he got married. That's all. Arkansas. Vacated national championship. Collision course. Greg Popovich compared Nikola Jokic to Larry Bird. Rick Carlisle compared Luka Doncic to Larry Bird. Those are two very different kinds of players being compared to the same player. I wonder what's going on there.
What do you think?
The Joker. The Beluga Whale.
Yes.
The Birdman.
Yes.
Ben Simmons is having surgery to correct a glitch that doesn't allow him to practice shooting the three-point shot during the offseason. What happened there?
You're mean.
Why can't Luka remind people of Magic? Huh?
Because he's pink.
I'm genuinely worried about parts of our country if there's no SEC football. The good news, I've been worried about those same parts of the country for a while now.
Yeah.
Guy with the red hair in the Allstate commercial who is starstruck when he sees the Safe Drivers Save 40% guy. He deserves an Academy Award. Death, taxes, and Giancarlo Stanton landing on the DL. Clayton Kershaw Saturday. 4 1/3 innings.
Here we go.
7 hits, 4 runs, a loss. Clayton Kershaw already rounding into postseason form. Yankees and Twins each had 76 runs through 10 games. You know what both teams can do, Dan?
Mash.
Yeah, they can mash. The Twinks and the Yanks.
The Yanks.
You're on it today. The Cubs are better without Joe Maddon. I said it.
Yeah.
TJ Warren. That's my observation. That's all.
Yep.
Carlos Correa fouled the ball off his privates this weekend. Hashtag karma. It feels like sports can go away at any moment. And it terrifies me. As if Major League Baseball didn't have enough problems, the Orioles-Nationals game was suspended because of a tarp malfunction. Dan, you know what they needed that like?
A hole
like
in the
a
head.
Hole in the head, Dan. What were you going to guess?
I said it already before you did.
I didn't hear it. CBS announcer during the back nine yesterday, who said with a win here, Morikawa would start looking like Tiger Woods. CBS announcer, do me a favor. When he opens up his closet and the first thing he sees is 5 green jackets, get back to me. Also, what exactly did he mean by that?
Oh, there it is.
I just wonder, throwing it out there. Food for thought, Dan. Brooks Koepka's mouth wrote checks. His game couldn't cash. Speaking of writing checks you can't cash.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Looks like Craig Carton is getting another shot.
I thought you were going to go after Captain Munderland. Got arrested in the Miami airport with bad checks.
I should have.
No, yours is better. No, I think yours was better.
Cardinals manager. COVID outbreak has led to ER visits. 2 things. Who the hell is the Cardinals manager? And what the hell are we doing? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
This is unbelievable what's going on with the SEC and the ACC trying to secede from the union. It is just what's happening in America, Stugatz. I'm telling you, I just need you people in these regions. I am in one of these regions where you find SEC football and where you find ACC football. Will you people, will you idiot freedom fighters who are sitting out here not wearing masks, will you stop doing what feels like you're advocating against the Vietnam War? Like, you are not advocating against the Vietnam War and fighting for the freedom to not wear a mask. We could all have our sports back if you just agree to wear a mask for a while.
Paid that man his money.
I'm so excited for Ole Miss Vanderbilt to post the biggest television number we've ever seen.
Dan is so right about this. Put the damn mask on. I'm in Central Florida. No one wearing a mask. I go to Maryland, a hot zone, okay? A hot zone. It's like nothing is happening up there. Everyone's walking around talking in each other's face 2 inches away. And they're talking to me and you don't have a mask on. Everyone who walked by me in Baltimore over the weekend not wearing a mask, you heard me. You heard me, because I told you as you were walking past me, put a mask on. Or I'm going to get your name and number, and I'm going to take care of business, okay? And I got a few, and I'm going to call them out on the air, okay?
More empty threats from Stugatz coming up next. The news is coming in pretty fast, so Mike Ryan, please help me out here because I just saw it out of the corner of my eye on the screen, and I want to make sure I was reading this correctly because it seemed like there was a report that Jim Harbaugh is advocating for there to be a season, even as reports are coming out everywhere that the Big Ten simply will not have a season. There's a lot of things happening right now where you are seeing some flux in power, Stugatz. For example, you probably noticed that Mark Emmert, who makes almost $4 million a year running the NCAA, Mark Emmert, who is one of these guys who is lording over the injustice while making a whole lot of money that the players aren't making, you're not hearing from him on anything. It seems like he's got next to no power as you're watching all of these decisions being made as the president of the NCAA can't do anything. And you have a situation where the Big Ten is opting out of football. The Power Five conferences are all discussing no football in the fall. I think a lot of people out there find that the reporting of this news that college football seems to be collapsing, I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying that the media is somehow cheering for the absence of college football. And I can tell you flatly that there are a lot of jobs going to be lost right now. And I don't understand these arguments being made that people think the media is rooting for college football to not be played. But we can't agree on much of anything these days anywhere in America. So I suppose it's not surprising in any way that people will arrive at, you know, fake news, mainstream media, however it is that they can arrive there, when we'd all like to see college football. And we'd all probably agree that it seems a little dangerous to do college football now, even as the numbers show you that young people aren't statistically the ones dying. But when you read about children in Georgia, when you read, Stugatz, about young people now dying, all it would take is one for all of us to put our heads in our hands and be like, what the hell did we do this for? All it would take is one, basically. It's not even like, yes, we could play mathematical odds and say it is unlikely that people of college age will die. But if one of them dies, isn't it one too many in the grab for dollars?
Of course it is. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh, and he released a statement on the heels of the Big Ten canceling its season. And what Jim Harbaugh is pointing out are facts about how Michigan and their coronavirus testing has gone within the football program, pointing out things such as the Michigan football program has had 11 positive tests out of the 893 administered tests, including 3 upon initial return to campus and 2 positive tests out of the last 417 that they've done. He is advocating and saying we can handle this. There should be a season. So it's confusing, a lot of information out there.
Yeah, not too long ago, Stugatz had this weekend observation, would love to see who has to tell the SEC they can't play football. Because I don't know who it is, quite frankly. If it's not the conference themselves, they've already proven with their scheduling, they can move forward. They don't need the rest of college football. We thought that the Power Five could move on just as a Power Five. Now you have Power Five conferences dropping out, and it seems as though, at least right now, the plan is to still push forward. I would imagine a program like Ohio State, a program like Michigan, their conference saying, hey, we're out this fall, would sort of be a wake-up call maybe to parts of the country and to those conferences. But so far, nothing on that front. And if there's just so much money on the line, not just people, not just working-class jobs, we're talking about billions. Hundreds of millions of dollars in television rights fees that might be up for grabs, and the NFL might be salivating at these college football windows. But at the same time, do they do the sport a favor and push their NFL draft a little bit further because they want to protect their free minor league? All of this is a major, major point in that sport's history.
I think, Stugatz, as people are watching pretty historic things happen in real time, during a pandemic, no matter where it is that your politics are, and we can fight over the smallest things these days, I think we can all agree, based on where the numbers are, based on America having plenty of time to have planned for this, that we have been really bad at the handling of the coronavirus. I think we can all agree on that without dispute. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all agree also that we don't actually deserve for sports to be back, given when you look at what happened in South Korea and New Zealand, and they get some of these things under control in ways that we have not been able to get it under control. But because money is America's God, and because there is so much sports money around this, one of the things that has happened here that I don't think can get enough attention as we watch college football possibly collapse in front of us is that NBA basketball threw a ton of money at their problem in a way that is a little bit ugly in terms of greed, with a $150 million bubble. And as Stugatz pointed out to you, their players going through expensive testing as the surrounding neighborhoods could use some of that testing and aren't getting it, even as the NBA tries to cover its tracks on that one some by offering some of its testing to local people who need it. I do think one of the things that's fascinating here is how quietly the NBA has been able to do this without so much as of a hiccup so far. Yeah. So far right now, you pretty implicitly trust that the NBA is going to be able to do this. We haven't had any kind of outbreak. We haven't had a single person, right? Since the bubble started, we haven't had a single person feel like a danger other than Lou Williams.
No, it feels like the safest place. In fact, you have had players lend their voice to this. I feel like I'm in safest place in the United States right now. If I leave this place, which I really shouldn't, but if I do, it's a quick test. It's a test every single day. And if I test positive, I'm quarantined, and I can't come back until I'm done with the quarantine, and then I can go play again. The NBA has nailed this, at least so far.
So far. They have nailed it. It can change. I just can't believe that we are in a place where Walt Disney actually gets to be the happiest place on earth. How is it possible that we have arrived? It is the safest place where basketball quietly, as everything else seems to come apart, as you see all over our country, danger around every corner, there is no place safer. If I'm the NFL, I just say, hey, can we borrow Orlando and your bubble when you guys are done with it?
Pay that man his money.
I want to live in a bubble. I mean, don't you?
It is crazy to think that so far, I suspect it can change, but I feel like they've done so well in the early stages of this, Stugatz, that we don't actually expect that to change anymore. We expect baseball teams right and left to fall down and collapse because of this virus.
I think the Cardinals have played like four games.
It is. It's so bad with the Cardinals, Stugatz. And now you saw what the Indians did, right? Plesac's kid? They just sent him home. They said, get out of here because we can't allow you to be this kind of reckless. So they just evidently Cleveland is being more aggressive. The Cleveland baseball team is being more aggressive about this than anybody else